Good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder. It's Sunday morning. Wendy's Hypochondriac Corner, or This Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And let's say hello once again to Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Del Nor Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Wheat. How are you this week?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing well. So I was going through some health topics throughout the week and some scary information about an uptick in colorectal cancer. And doctors are warning that people as young as age 20 need to be aware of the warning signs. 20 years old? This, I thought, was an older person's issue.
You know, we absolutely used to most commonly see it in older people, but we definitely have seen it younger and younger. A few years ago, we even changed our screening recommendations to start at 45 instead of 50. But screening recommendations, those are just looking for people that don't have symptoms. And so if you have
symptoms... Our phone lines are just so goofy. Yeah, we'll get Dr. Wheat back on the line. So this is what millennials and Gen Zers need to go. And I don't know if they've exactly figured out why the rise in young people, but you think nobody in their 20s, 30s, or 40s are going to get colorectal cancer, but that is wrong. And as Dr. Wheat mentioned, they are talking about lowering, or they have lowered the age for screenings, but that's just for a screening. If there are symptoms, and we'll discuss some of those symptoms, you should go to your regular doctor. Is that where you would start, Dr. Wheat?
Absolutely, absolutely. And some of those symptoms might be bleeding or might be just sort of bloating and feeling uncomfortable. It's absolutely worth it to come talk to us so that we can figure out if those symptoms are worth getting extra testing or not.
And, I mean, listen, I know it's probably, well, I know from a fact, it's embarrassing sometimes going to your doctor and say, you know, could you look at my butt? You know what I mean? But this is your health. This isn't anything to mess around with, right?
This is absolutely your health, and please remember, this is what we train for. We are comfortable having these conversations. We are here to take care of you, so absolutely please call and talk to us about anything that you're worried about. That's really what we're there for.
And there, you know, you mentioned blood. That can be various things. It doesn't necessarily mean right away that you have cancer. And what about these, is it Cologuard? Some of these tests, I know some people who refuse to get a colonoscopy, and I said, you know, the prep work isn't fun, but it's really not that bad. And then the next day, it's the best breakfast you're ever going to have.
So yes, we have a couple of options for screening. This is only for screening. This is not if you have symptoms. And one of those is the Cologuard, and that you can do at home and send into the company. And if it's negative, you can repeat it again in 3 years. The great thing about a colonoscopy is that it's not just a screening test. For many people that maybe have early disease, it takes care of it at the same time. And so if there's polyps that the GI doctors are worried about, they can take them out at the same point. And so it's screening and treatment all in one, and you really can't beat that. And so I do try to recommend that when my patients are willing.
And if anyone has any change in their bowel habits, if you're going more frequently, if you're more constipated than usual, as we mentioned, bleeding, just go to your doctor and ask them, and they can refer you to whatever. It may be nothing, and then, you know, you can rest easy.
And be reassured. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And is there any way, I mean, is it just that we, as a younger generation, probably eat more processed foods and probably don't exercise as frequently as we should? Are there any particular reasons why you're seeing the lower age in some cases of colorectal cancer?
We do think some of it is related to diet, absolutely. There are some diets that are more likely to have colorectal cancer than others. And so some ways that meats are cooked, some processed foods can increase your risk. There's also been some evidence recently that maybe obesity increases your risk as well, and we have seen more obesity in our country, and so that could increase it. And then, of course, like most diseases, if there's any sort of family history, then you're more at risk. So it's important to talk to your family about different diseases. I know that some families prefer not to talk about it, but it's really important information to share.
Well, that is, yes, definitely, like a lot of things are hereditary. Yes, unfortunately. Hopefully you come from good genes. I did not in my family, but whatever. All right, we're going to take a quick break and discuss some more topics in This Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And if you have any questions, feel free to call us at 312-981-7200. We'll continue with Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. Dr. Santina Wheat is on with us. It's This Week in Health. She's the program director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Del Nor Hospital. I'm Wendy Snyder. And Dr. Wheat, I saw this in the news this week as well. A lot of people are taking popular weight loss drugs, the GLP-1s, and now there is some evidence that it could help with the treatment for addiction. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I feel like every week we're seeing something new, some new benefit to this class of medications. But this one really does make sense. We think of GLP-1s as helpful because it decreases hunger. It decreases your cravings for food. It shuts down some of the food noise is what many patients tell me. And so it makes sense that it might take care of some of the cravings that go along with addiction as well. We definitely need more information on this, but early studies are showing that people are doing well on these medications and decreasing their addictions. And so I'm really excited about this as an opportunity to help people for multiple things that they struggle with.
All right. So it's going to turn out that these GLP-1s are like the wonder drugs.
It
sure does seem that way. And, you know, the safety with these as well, you know, they're relatively new, but they have been tested. So, you know, hopefully long term, what do we know about that?
Well, it's not as new as people think. So we definitely think of the most popular ones that are getting all of the commercials right now as new. But we've had this class of medications actually for much longer than that. There were medications that have been out for 10 or 15 years at least. And people have really done well on them. The biggest thing is that people often stay on them and aren't necessarily coming off of them. So it's not necessarily a short-term fix as some people are hoping for. But the safety profile seems pretty good.
Oh, that is encouraging. I do not take a daily multivitamin, and I have really, my husband keeps telling me, I take it every day, you should do it. So now I see daily multivitamin may slow biological aging. What? Really?
You know, I'm not the biggest proponent of daily multivitamins unless there's a specific reason. I always am going to say it's the best thing to do to get your vitamins from food, because then we know how much you're getting and we know how your body is absorbing it. That being said, there are some people that absolutely could benefit from certain things in that multivitamin. Maybe they need vitamin D, maybe they need calcium, maybe they need iron, depending on what it is. But I really think it's about getting the vitamins in. And if you can get them in your foods, then you are probably better off than just taking a pill every day.
And every year I get a physical and they do blood work. And I, in the past, have been, my vitamin D levels have been low. And this year when I went to get my blood test, my insurance didn't cover the vitamin D level. Isn't that nutty? So I didn't.
This is actually something I fight for a lot for my patients.
Yeah.
If we have a reason that we can get it covered. And honestly.
So I didn't get it done. But I guess my question real quickly here is, if I have the last three blood works in the last 3 years, my vitamin D has been low, can I assume it's low? Will it be detrimental to me if I take a vitamin D and don't need it?
Well, actually, that's exactly what I was going to say. I just tell people to assume they're low, especially for those of us in Chicagoland, because we don't get as much sunshine as some of the other states. And so I absolutely recommend, especially for women, that they consider a vitamin D and calcium if we have reasons to believe that. If it's been low the past 3 years, I would assume that you have it, and it's okay to take it. And also just try to get some sunshine so you get some natural vitamin D.
All right. Well, we're getting more sunshine since we turned the clocks sprung ahead. So that's a little helpful, but not enough. Unless you're under a grow light like my plants at home, then you need vitamin D for the most part. And so they just stopped paying for vitamin D levels. Really? I just don't understand insurance companies.
It's actually not recommended as a screening test, and that's what they will pay for. And so, like I said, if I have a specific reason to look for it, otherwise I will just assume that you're probably a little bit low.
All right. And we only have a couple of minutes here, but I saw and heard something. As women get older, you know, we hit menopause, and hormone replacement therapy has been talked about. I'm at high risk for breast cancer in my family and ovarian cancer. So it turns out that I am not a candidate, but I'm looking at the FDA.gov and it says that there was misleading FDA warnings on hormone replacement therapy. We want to do a little fact or fiction here. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm going to go fast with this one. I am actually one of the people that is really happy that some of the warnings have been removed. It has kept people from getting getting support that they need when they're having symptoms of menopause. And I really do have patients that benefit, and it's not increasing their risk. Again, this is important to have a shared conversation with your physician about your risks and your benefits, especially with someone like you who has high risk in their family. But if you don't have it, then it really can be useful in safe amounts to help people through the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. And so it definitely is much safer than some of the original studies thought.
And like, you know, hot flashes, things like that. As we get older, we lose estrogen. And guys, you lose testosterone, so don't be looking at us funny. But that's what the hormone replacement therapy would entail, is some estrogen.
It's usually estrogens. Some women also need a little bit of progesterone as well to protect them. But yes, that is mostly what we are trying to replace to help with some of the hot flashes, some of the brain fog, some of the ability to sleep. A lot of that really can get better. But hormones aren't our only option. So even for people who do not want to use hormones or can't, we have other options to help them as well.
Well, someday we have to explore those, but we are out of time. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Santina Wheat. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Have a good one. Take care.
All right. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine Residency at Del Nor Hospital. A lot of great information and news, which is more information coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.